The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 3-2, swinging a drive down the left field line. Soderstrom back into his right. This one is gone. A home run for Marcus Semien. Just inside the left field foul pole. Touch them all, Marcus. The Rangers lead 2-1.
Hixey with the call on your official home of the Texas Rangers and Cowboys. Good morning, Metroplex. Thanks for being a total. That stands for turn it on, leave it on. Back to Cowboy Fireworks at 7:20 during the commercial-free expressway with a Billy Currington ticket giveaway. We'll also chop it up. The show of Wales delivering today starting at 8:40. Brian brought us from Oxnard. Then Adam Schefter, 9. Then Brett Boone at 9:20 on DFW Sports Station. Marcus Semien, along with Corey Seager, Josh Smith, help Jacob deGrom get to 10-2 with the win over the Athletics. They will look for the win again tonight with Patrick Corbin on the mound. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock first pitch. But, of course, taking you up till the 6:30 pregame every night on this station is the G-Bag Nation.
Yeah, Nation, you guys had a little bit of
this is
going to
give me such pleasure after what has been happening in this building between the two shows over the past couple of weeks. This is going to give me – this is like you cook a brisket for 15 hours and you're not supposed to touch it and you have to let it rest for like at least 3-4 hours. That's what I did yesterday when the guys kept sending the audio. I'm like, I want to hit play. I want to listen, but I'm going to let it rest – because it's going to taste even better live here in this moment.
Yeah, this it brings me such joy because, like, again, I mean, I don't know the exact red letter date when this all started, but I keep picturing Broadus's emoji behind a computer criticizing the Seth Greenberg interview. But after listening to this, I could see why they thought Seth did such a poor job, because I have never seen a collection of people prepare less for an interview than these guys just said, oh, I see you're from California here. It says on your Wikipedia page. Tell us about that.
But this apparently got so bad when Rowdy was up last night, I like felt bad for him and I didn't even hear the audio. I was watching him last night. I'm like, oh man, like poor Rowdy and what he just went through.
Dude,
with these
this
guys.
I know you're thinking you're going to savor this. This is going to be uncomfortable. This is uncomfortable audio to listen to. So, they had Rowdy Tellez on yesterday on the G-Bag Nation, their weekly hit with a Rangers player, and it got off to a little bit of an awkward footing. I want you to just take notice, how many times does Gavin Dawson in this first clip reference Rowdy Tellez's size and how well it's received?
All 6'4", 270 of Rowdy Tellez joining you now here on your home of the Rangers. And a good afternoon, sir. Welcome to Texas. How the hell are you?
I'm doing good, guys. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Well, yeah, it is great to have you. And they say everything is bigger in Texas, so I guess you're fitting right in, huh? Is that the story?
I guess so. I mean, I'm built more like an offensive lineman than a first baseman, but yeah. I guess it works.
Now, no, seriously, though, how many brisket sandwiches are you in right now?
What?
Had yourself a brisket sando yet, right?
Wait, stop. Stop.
He didn't answer. He didn't answer.
Okay, so you didn't stop that cut.
No.
You didn't
pause.
Stop.
No, that's all pause.
Okay.
You know how like you have like a
oh my God.
You know how like you have like a moment where you remember exactly where you are? I was turning right on. I had picked up Luca from the water park. I was turning onto 114 at this very moment. I was waiting at the light. And I thought for a second, I looked down at my phone. I was like, did this thing just cut out? What happened? And no, it was just dead.
He goes, 6'4", 270, and then he goes, hey, how about, you know, you're fitting right in. But the fact that he went, now seriously. How many brisket sandwiches are you in right now?
Now, I'm trying to think of when we have ever referenced someone's weight. Of all the sports, I think baseball is the least appropriate to mention someone's weight. Like, there's nothing complimentary about saying 6'4", 270, Rowdy Tellez coming in here. Like, maybe Shaq? If you were going to do it, like,
I mean, offensive line guys should do it because they wear it as a badge of honor.
Yeah, they want
right?
to be big.
They're big,
yeah.
Nasty. Yeah, they're nasty.
Yeah,
right?
No, like,
or like a UFC heavyweight fighter or a heavyweight boxer, maybe.
Who do we like?
Not a baseball, not a hitter.
George Steinbrenner and Hideki Arabu. What do you call him? A fat toad? or whatever he did back in the 90s. Yeah. That was a big, that was a problem when that happened. And like Bartolo Colon got like criticized for it all the time. And it was like, people were like, come on.
This is back to back. It's hilarious. This is back to back to back, just straight insults from Dawson to start. I want to, from the beginning, please.
All 6'4", 270 of Rowdy Tellez joining in now here on your home of the Rangers.
Good
afternoon, sir. Welcome to Texas. How the hell are you?
I'm doing good, guys. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Well, yeah, it is great to have you. And they say everything is bigger in Texas, so I guess you're fitting right in, huh? Is that the story?
What?
I guess so. I mean, built more like an offensive lineman than a first baseman, but I guess it worked.
Now, seriously, though, how many brisket
sandwiches
stop.
Are Was that Jeff Pottle in the back going, that's my guy?
That's Walchuk. Tried to, I think he recognized, like, okay, it's kind of uncomfortable. Like, oh, yeah, that's my guy. Another fellow big guy. He's trying to, like...
That's my guy.
Yeah, he's trying to...
I'm trying to think of another state to where talking about the state moniker would be an insult to the person. You know what I mean? Like, everything's bigger in Texas.
Everything's smaller in Rhode Island. You must be fitting right in.
Well, welcome, Muggsy. Everything's smaller in Rhode Island. Come on in, Spud.
It's the Big Apple. You sure have a big Adam's apple. How's that working out
That's
for
you? That's right. All right, let's continue.
I guess so. I mean, I'm built more like an offensive lineman than a first baseman, but I guess it worked.
Now, seriously, though, how many brisket sandwiches are you in right now? Had yourself a brisket sando yet, Rowdy?
No, I live here, so I'm...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've lived here for a while, so I've dabbled in my fair share of them.
Right on. See, I thought I noticed some Texan in your voice. I should have...
I don't think it sounds any different.
Right on.
So they butcher...
It's the first minute.
They butcher the beginning. Then they mess up the locality of it, the local tie, and then they mess up the accent.
Right on. Yeah, the right on... Yeah, made it.
He's like, no, I don't have your shoochie that you adopted from Portland, Gavin. How much have you upped your cholesterol this morning? Tell me. No, seriously. Like, how much mayo did you put in your coffee today? Tell me.
It's he's
wow.
I respect him giving Dawson that pause. Wait. That pause he gave, that was very much intentional. Like, you are going to sit in that. And like, Rowdy's going, mm-hmm. Like, just like, sit there and listen and feel this. That was great.
A brisket sando yet, Rowdy?
Sando.
Now, even
sando, brisket sando, like sando. Choppy abbreviation.
I love it.
Even after all of that, Eric Chiafalo still decided, you know what, let's go back, talk about his size.
I've seen the other nickname float around. I don't know if you've heard it. The Girthquake.
What?
Yeah, I haven't heard that one, so that's new to me, but that's kind of funny.
That's pretty badass, is it? Now, you're from California, and girthy as hell.
Yeah.
Dude.
I don't know. I don't know if I like that one.
All right.
Oh, wow, okay.
All right.
Stop.
I told you this was going to be uncomfortable.
So, you're from California.
You know, that's about to fall in the ocean, all the earthquakes you guys have. You thought my dude, thing I said the text was an exaggeration.
This company.
I don't know if I like that one.
This company sends us these HR things to execute. The G-Bag Nation today, by the time they start their show, must do an HR video exercise on this. Chiafalo just said you're girthy as hell.
And from California.
So which one's more insulting?
That one there too.
And he is right now totally turned off.
Yes.
He's ready to hang up the phone, as he should be.
Now, Walchuk would go back and ask him stuff like, at first base, like, what kind of trash talk goes on there when somebody's up? It's like he's trying to, like, just let's move away from this. Dawson's very next question goes, he's like, all right, I got to go back to some sort of a staple. I got to go back to a staple that we have that we ask everybody. It was just the wrong one to ask Rowdy Tellez.
What would be a Rowdy Tellez concession item if you got to design it?
Trying to think. Anything probably with brisket. I love brisket. So like a good brisket sandwich, maybe some like onion strings on it, and like a sweet barbecue sauce.
This had to be a bet payoff. This had to be like when we interview a Packers insider and we're like, insert cheese jokes.
Right.
This had to be. They cannot be this on house. Was this whole show completely just stoned in another universe? That's the only explanation. Everyone decided before the Rowdy Tellez interview to take bong rips in the side room.
Screw you, Jared,
goodbye. And you had to take 4 second bong rips and then come in here to be this deaf.
I wonder if this was like a late edition and they just they were like, oh, we don't know what this is, so let's go right to the well.
But you can tell in the four answers that it's clearly uncomfortable and offensive.
Right. What kind of concession items? Because, you know, you're fat. So we would ask you, is ice cream? Is it what are you going to do?
Like I said, that's a staple of theirs pretty frequently. It's just that was the wrong one to dip into the bag with, given the context of what it just said.
A concession item is
a
staple?
They'll ask about, like, what would you name a concession? They ask that of just about everybody, because Eric asked that during spring training. And so, but it was just the wrong time to dip into that one.
Oh my God. I think this is a top five moment in my history at this station.
The very next question. Rowdy Tellez, formerly of the Seattle Mariners, who also plays in Seattle.
You fry your fish out there in the market?
Yeah.
Do you catch the fish when they throw it in the market right in your mouth, or do you use your hands, Rowdy?
Who else plays in Seattle?
The big dumper, Cal Raleigh.
Oh, yeah.
So let's ask about him, because he's 260 pounds.
Let's
so
do it.
You got to throw it. He's a catcher, too. Big butt.
Hit it, Peyton.
Okay, speaking of big guys, Cal Raleigh's just a sensation. You've been on the Mariners. What do you make of this dude?
He can bang, man. He's a really hard worker, good teammate, but he's on the other team now, so we're gonna come after him, and we're gonna do what we can to neutralize it and just get him out. So
speaking of big people, you gotta tie it back in. You do have to make transitions and different
speaking
things like
of
that.
Big guys.
That's classic radio.
That was a segue.
Yeah. Speaking of big guys, man.
That was a segue.
So,
Rowdy
Tellez, by the end, has finally had enough, and he decides, all right,
poor guy,
I'm calling you out, Gavin Dawson.
If your job was not hitting absolute bombs, about one a week or so, what do you think you'd be into? Would you be a minister or something like that?
Probably not that either. I thought you were going to go something like along the fat joke line, like how you asked me about food, but
oh my bad,
maybe like a taste tester. But I think probably a hunting guide.
Hunting.
I'd like to do that.
And buddy, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make a fat joke. I just thought you're a tank.
No, I'm self-deprecating too, so don't worry. I beat you to it.
It's all good, broski. Well, you're the man, dude. It's been great catching up with you, learning more about your story. Best of luck, and let's do it again next year in Surprise, Arizona for spring training.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm looking forward to it.
Salute.
All right, couple things.
Man.
First off, broski, Zach. I'm sure that soothed everything. Does he have a ministry background? Where did that come
from?
Where did the minister thing come from?
I'm going to look it up. Maybe
if there's a ministry tie in the family or something. Like, would you be a minister or something? And then I'm already picturing next year. Please let Rowdy Tellez be on the roster, because it's going to be Eric Chiafalo and Zach Wolchuk in the Rangers clubhouse trying to make amends. I may fly out there just for the day that they try to go in there and get clubhouse audio from Rowdy, and I hope he picks them both up and choke slams them into the lockers.
You're gonna get that next week.
Okay, speaking of big guys.
You're going to get that next week because everybody's trying to push G-Bag to interview Jay Toia, who was the one during the draft that Zach was like, hey, you going to teach everybody to do the haka? And he's like, I'm Tongan. And so we might get that next week. So
what does that say?
What religion is the ministry?
Christian. Catholic?
Almost always, right? Yeah. Exclusively.
Yeah.
Rowdy's Jewish.
Oh, okay.
And one.
And buddy, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make a fat joke.
And one to end it. Pepe, your thoughts?
God, cringy, but it was awesome. It was gold. So, but that's what G-Bag does, you know? They bring these guests on, they poke fun at them the whole time.
No.
But this was not fun.
Zero credit.
No.
Zero credit. The show war is over. This is done. We don't have to say anything back. It's like Bobby in a rap song. They took themselves out. Over.
This is incredible.
This is mind-blowing. This is all time. This is all time. Poor Rowdy Tellez, the G-Bag. I almost want to cancel Broadus at 840 because I don't want to ask him about this.
He mentioned he officiated a friend's wedding. That's where the ministry question came from.
He's Jewish.
According to Wikipedia, which is about the same level of preparation on that.
Let's hook you up with a concert ticket giveaway. We got Billy Currington tickets. We have more Cowboy fallout from Micah and Diggs responding. Micah shots right at Jerry. Trayvon responds to Jerry calling out his leadership. Commercial-free expressway. And we chop it up next on The Fan. Tolos are responding to the Rowdy Tellez G-Bag interview that we just went over here on Sean and RJ from Titanic. I used to live in New York City and go to comedy clubs very frequently, and you'd see guys and girls struggle. I'd never heard a bombing worse than that. That was painfully hilarious. Broski. Okay,
speaking of big guys.
He put Broski in there. Broski. Kid Muse is on fire. That was like listening to a car crash in slow motion. Rowdy would sooner ask for a trade than do another interview with those guys.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As someone who is Jewish, asking him if he would join the ministry, had me in tears. Like, the Tolos are on fire with this reaction.
I don't know if I like that one.
Given their lack of awareness, 214 says, I'm surprised they didn't just ask him to do the truffle shuffle there in the interview.
I have been laugh crying in the commercial break the
amazing.
Entire
amazing.
Time after that. All right.
817 says we should have a bot to give him a good interview.
Dude, again, sensitivity training today. It has to be done by 2 p.m. From Odyssey HR. We're commercial free with the expressway. We're going to chop it up. You know what? Let's just hook the tolls up right now with the tickets. I'm in too good of a mood. Let's not make anybody wait.
If I fall, can you let me down?
All right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, call on number 10 at 877-881-1053. Wins a pair of tickets to see Billy Currington and Kip Moore on Friday, August 1st at the Pavilion at the Toyota Music Factory. That's call on number 10 at 877-881-1053.
All right, back inside the Star, Bobby is having real bad Cowboy Camp FOMO because they got after it yesterday at practice. It just wasn't a conditioning test, which Rowdy Tellez may have been in. It wasn't just stretching. They are out there going at it back and forth. And I was really impressed with someone that's going to make RJ Choppy very, very bitter here coming up. But then you had the Jerry presser to start. And then you had Micah and Diggs gathering the media afterwards. How surprised were you, Bobby, that they did that?
I'm surprised that Diggs did. Not surprised that Micah did. Micah's very aware. Micah has... Like, Micah's media awareness is really, really high.
Jerry has just been talking, raving about his intelligence for years.
He's a, like, Micah's a really good businessman. Micah's really good at branding. Micah's not any sort of a dummy or anything. I'm surprised that Diggs, given how much he has tried to avoid microphones before whenever anything is blown up, because I think generally he doesn't want to come off angry or he doesn't want to say something. We had the whole Mike Leslie incident outside the locker in San Francisco last year. I was surprised that he spoke at all, much less stood up there and was like, I'll directly answer all this. I'll talk longer in my answers than I do for anything else.
What sounded more personal, Jerry's presser or these guys' response? Or both? Yeah, the answer, yes.
Well, you know.
The Diggs-Jerry dynamic to me is that's not good right now. That's bad.
Micah sounded like he got personal yesterday, too.
But, you know, Micah, to me, you know, when you're... He was not the first to attack, right? So he is just, hey, look, man, you said to me, I'm just coming back at you.
I expected more of the Micah type, or in terms of, I would expect the Micah energy more from Diggs in terms of the way that Jerry had spoken about. I thought the Jerry criticism was more directed at Trayvon, but if Micah does view it as that criticism is a roundabout way to talk about what you think I could be, then he would be offended by
Micah
that.
Yesterday said, I'm confused. I don't understand. He said he was frustrated. I'm not frustrated. And then he kind of put Jerry in his sights with this quote.
Nah, but I'm gonna talk to him. You know, I just thought as a whole, like, you know, everyone's situation is different. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, like, I'm here for my teammates. You know, I'm not here to please another grown man. I'm here for them. You know, I want to be here with Trey. Watch him rehab, watch him get on the field, watch his growth. I want to be here battling with Terrence Steele. Like, I'm here for these guys. I'm not here for him, you know. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, he's on the field with us. You know, we're on the field playing the games and things like that. So I'm going to just control my teammates, keep boosting it, and, you know, we're just going to keep playing together.
So that's a very us versus them. Yeah. We're going to do it for ourselves, not for anybody upstairs in the front office.
Why did he only name specifically by name Trayvon Diggs and Terrence Steele, I wonder? Like, it's very clear Micah heard everything and he's making sure to underline.
Well, he retweeted TJ Watt.
Yeah, I'm here with all my teammates. I want to see Trey rehab. I want to go up against Terrence Steele. I want to be with everybody.
What's your point?
It's like, okay. All now, right. You're being very specific there.
Because, like, showing his leadership.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like,
it was all a test from Jerry. That's what it is.
Yeah.
He was like, I was testing
us
you, buddy.
Versus them mentality doesn't have to be us players versus media.
No, right? I'm saying it's players. This is players versus
front
office.
It can be players versus front office. And that's like
the Last Dance Bulls.
Right. It doesn't, you know, there's no
Odyssey.
There's no right or wrong. There's no right or wrong. Like, you know, however you got to motivate yourself. And if you use the front office as motivation, then you use the front office as motivation. I mean, this would not be the first time in the history of sports, as you just mentioned, that we've seen this. And we've seen it beyond just the Last Dance Bulls. I mean, there's been countless. I'm sure you had some of those bus Lakers teams. I know you had some Steinbrenner Yankee. It was like us versus them, versus him. And then this may not even be the first time you've had Cowboy players against us versus them. You know, the T.O. was like me versus Bill, crying out loud. You know, yeah. I was like, I'm going to show him.
So Micah and Diggs' leadership were called out by Jerry the other day. The media then, by the way, I think that clip was from Jane Slater, NFL Network, catching up with the two of them. This is Trayvon Diggs being asked about his leadership.
I feel like, you know, me, I'm not even a vocal leader. Like, I'm not going to be screaming at guys. I'm not going to be yelling at guys. How I'm a leader is what I do on the field, how I perform on the field, the things that I do in practice hard, working hard. So that's how I lead in my way. I'm a leader in my way. I'm continuing to lead in my way. I'm not going to change who I am. I'm not going to change and start talking and being a vocal guy. Like, that's just not me. That's not who I am. But I will lead in different ways, and I feel like I do that. You know, I feel like, you know, the things I do on the field, the things I do in practice shows enough.
That's why they're upset with you, though. You're not there. If you're telling me you're not a vocal leader and you tell me you lead on the field and then you're not there on the field, and then last year you didn't approach your rehab the right way.
He's not there on the field because he's hurt?
No, I'm talking about like how he's not in the building doing his rehab, or like he didn't attack his rehab the right way last year, so he didn't get back on the field quickly and then he got hurt again. And it's like, okay, well, those sort of things right there, like, start pointing to, if your whole aspect is how you bond with the guys on the field and then you're not even doing your rehab. DeMarvian Overshown ended up having David Durden in his wedding because they were in the rehab group together. Like, that's a thing. That's something that they want.
Mickey yesterday on KNC was talking about how they had a crawfish cook out there at the facility.
Was he there?
Micah wasn't.
Oh, Mickey wasn't? Oh.
I don't know if Mickey was. I assume Mickey was. But Mickey's like, that's just a little small example of the leadership they're talking about. All the teammates are out there, and they're sucking heads, and they're eating the food, and all this and that. That's a crawfish thing, Bobby. Get educated with your palate instead of mind in the gutter all the time. And Micah wasn't out there for the crawfish cookout. So that's just something I heard Mickey sprinkle in with KNC. And then Trayvon went to Twitter after all this and said, they knew where I was rehabbing at. Was in full communication with the therapist whole step of the way. I'm not behind on my recovery process.
Okay.
You're making a face.
I mean, that's good that he feels that way. They may feel differently. I don't know. Like that's the thing, is that they don't know, because he has not been in the building with them. He hasn't been reaching all the checkpoints that they need to see. So they'll find out while he's here if he's behind or if he's ahead. But him saying that to them is just like, okay, well, that's like when Odell Beckham during the free agency courting was trying to tell you how far along he was. It's like, well, we don't know, though.
Trayvon gave us an actual physical update on where he is. When are you getting back out here on the field?
Nobody wants to get injured. It just happened to be unfortunate I've, you know, had injuries. My first 3 years, you know, I did everything I was supposed to do to get paid. So I feel like that's why I got paid, because of the things that I did on the field my first 3 years. No one's thinking about, oh, he's going to get hurt next year, let's not pay him. No, that's not how things work. You get paid for the stuff that you do on the field. You perform your performance, and then that's how you get paid. And I feel like, you know, it's unfortunate I had two back-to-back injuries, but I'm in a great space.
positive. I know when I get on the field what I'm going to do, so I'm not really worried about that. It's just all about getting back on the field, staying healthy, and, you know, once I'm healthy, I'm going to perform.
Still happy here?
Yeah, I'm still happy here. You know, I got great teammates, my friends, my brothers. They come, we check on each other, we talk, we tight. It's a tight group, so, you know, I'm very happy here, and, yeah.
I like the tone. I like the delivery. They were calm. They were cool. Mm-hmm. They were composed. Micah sounded more hurt than Diggs. I get that. So things have gotten a little bit personal. And, of course, $40 million a year will make all of it go away, which will eventually happen, in my opinion, just like it did with all the other holdouts. So I think this might be Jerry's. Again, we're throwing out 15 different theories. This might be Jerry's, like, last attempt to show some power, because he had zero power in the Dak negotiation.
None.
So the only thing I can really do, right? It's like when you get in a fight, verbal fight with someone, who's going to start going low with the insults? Like, this is the last thing I have to hang on to. I don't have the actual argument, so I'm going to try to insult you. I'm going to interview a Ranger player and just insult you. And that's what I'm starting to think here. Jerry's like, I'm going to sign the check. We're not going to have him miss games, but I'm going to make them feel my power and a little bit of my wrath in the last seconds that we have. I'm just a theory.
And like you said.
And by the way, I'm feeling bad for Micah in this situation and circumstance. They may be asking for 50 a year. Mm-hmm. That's what Mickey said he'd be asking for if he's
sure,
the agent.
Absolutely.
Right? And then maybe they settle at 45. They might be asking for 45. We don't know. Because they alluded to that in the presser. They alluded to that saying, y'all think the players are just asking for the current market high. Some ask for the next contract before the next contract is signed, before the leapfrog takes place.
And imagine if they felt like they had the money right when Jerry and Mike were talking to each other, and then it comes back and it's way higher.
And that's what I thought, Choppy, when you said Jerry fired the first shot. I think the first shot could have been Micah reneging. Jerry may view that as the first shot. We agreed.
Yeah.
We agreed.
Mm-hmm.
And you backed out of the deal. And that is where it could have started.
Which is really something he should not have agreed to, because you're not allowed to go around representation. And so that was Micah should, once Micah's agent got involved, like that's the process that should have happened. But like where Micah's error was probably sitting down to basically negotiate that. That's where he screwed up. You mentioned $40 million should smooth all this over, right? What fixes the thing with Diggs? There's no payday coming up that can fix the issue with Diggs.
Diggs has to go out and ball and then get praised for it.
Well, how does it fix their relationship with Diggs, though, like himself? Like, how does he feel good towards Jerry? He's not getting a check from Jerry anytime soon.
I don't think anything fixes it until Trayvon goes out and has a hell of a season. Until he shuts all of us up instead of pointing to him as the next player to be cut or gone out of here.
Because that's also the thing you got to think about here.
He's got Trayvon has to come out and prove that he's worth that money.
A payday came or is coming for Micah. And there's all this talk that leads up to it. There was talk that led up to him getting this de-escalator, and it didn't work. And they've already taken money off of Diggs' table. Like that, I don't know. That one, this is a critical next few days, I think, where that can start taking a really bad turn, and that can become a really damaged relationship.
877-881-1053, Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. Thanks to all of you on the YouTube, the fan cam, Twitch, the radio, the Odyssey app, because you're putting up big-time numbers as we are starting the training camp coverage with fireworks here on your official home of the Dallas Cowboys. Do not forget that throughout the entire season. Brought to you by on-time experts, Rhino Shield and Yardbird Southern Table and Bar. We have a record amount of sponsors for this year's coverage. And then you got Greystone Roofing. When we're talking about Trayvon Diggs for the injury report, they have you covered when the hits keep coming. In the Brian Brought Us update,
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
is taking place at 8:40 this morning, followed by Adam Schefter live and then Brett Boone to talk about your Rangers after another nice win over the Athletics. Let's get to chopping it up.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
Do not go speeding around DFW or anywhere in the great state of Texas for a couple of weeks. It is chopping it up here on 105.3 The Fan. The number one contributing factor in traffic crashes statewide is speeding. But starting started last week, and it's going all the way to August 3rd, they are increasing patrol on Texas highways in much greater numbers, trying to catch speeders around DFW and throughout the state. Careful for you right there, Bobby Bell.
So they're putting out more police presence.
More police presence. So it's going to be a heightened kind of emphasis they're putting on catching speeders.
You know, as an old man driver, myself and my wife as an old woman driver, I'm going to applaud this. I'm happy with this. It's way too hard to get busted for speeding around here, I feel like. It's way too difficult. So I'm giving an old man applause in my rocking chair for those Friday and Saturdays when it's like the walking dead out there driving at starting 6 p.m. at night. And God forbid and God help you if you're out there at 10 p.m.
See, this is the other reason why you guys don't do it, but this is the other reason why you should put your route into work every morning in the GPS.
I do.
You do? Okay. Did you? Like when you were at the old house?
Yeah. No. So and I certainly, when I was here in Uptown.
If you put it in the GPS, well, you should still do it then. Because if you put it in the GPS, it's going to tell you on the map, police alerted 5 minutes ahead.
Mm-hmm.
2 miles ahead, there's a cop sitting there, speed trap.
It is so saved
it gives you all
me,
the speed
man.
Trap notifications. I haven't been pulled over for speeding in, 6 years probably. And I've certainly sped most every time in those 6 years.
Yeah, it's been a while, knock on wood. And I think at the time of day that we drive in, I don't see many on the road. And that's one of the fears of the new building. I don't know those roads. I don't know where the cops like to hide.
Dude, no. You're taking the Autobahn, dude. You're going down underneath. You're going to take the 635 Expressway. You're going to go 120 down there all the way
up. What, pay every day for nothing? You don't need it.
Every once in a while just to feel the rush.
To feel the rush, yeah. I could do that.
If this highway's open out here, And it's just a normal, it's a 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you're driving on that highway, your speedometer is saying what, probably?
65.
Oh my gosh.
No way. The speed looks like 70.
What is yours?
On 75?
Yeah. If 75 is just clear.
Totally clear?
Yeah.
Maybe 70.
Maybe 70.
I don't think I've ever been in the car with you driving now that I think about it.
I'm a good driver. I'm
80.
Solid.
It's 80.
You have to remember my car. I speed a lot more and easier in my wife's vehicle.
Oh yeah,
it's so much easier. When I was driving down to Austin and San Antonio, they were all telling me to slow down.
Yeah.
Because it's just so much easier in my Jeep. It really feels like the doors and the roof could fly off.
It's like rattling.
Yeah, I love the Jeep. It's been a great vehicle for me. Knock on that Corian, but in newer technology. I speed a lot more.
I'm going 80. If the highway's open, I'm going 80.
In the Maxima, it's much easier for me to. And it's much easier for me to speed. It's 85, 90 on that road. In the truck,
yeah.
And then it's 60 down here when I see you drive it.
In the truck, I go much slower.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's the same thing. It's just like it's such a heavy vehicle.
I took the express lane to Fort Worth to TCU to speak at Donnie's thing.
Well,
and I was getting honked at. People were behind me because it's like one lane for the most part. And then I'm a guardrail freak out wuss. I always think I'm going to run into the guardrail. And my car also sometimes when I get to 70, it does that automatic stop.
You got a governor on your car? You might.
It's not a governor. Tolo Mike, the great Mike Osman. He knows that it was, but sometimes it's the squiggly line on your dashboard that kicks in and makes your car stop.
It's the stop loss sensor.
It's the stop loss sensor, and sometimes that'll kick in, and I feel like I could spin out and get in a wreck.
Whoa.
So I get paranoid when I get up to like 75 that it kicks in sometimes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chop, what is that street lead? Is it 28th leading up to Billy Bob's? in Fort Worth. That really north, narrow North 28th
north,
Street.
North side. It's a 26th, 28th Street. Yeah.
So that street there, Kristen will, if we ever go to Billy Bob's, she wants me to drive for that one section of road that she's terrified to take the Explorer through because of what you're talking about, Sean. She thinks the guardrails are like too tight.
Wow.
And she's like, anybody who's even drifting a little bit, I'm getting hit. She's like, you take this. I'm not doing this.
Chopping it up here on 105.3 The Fan. Are y'all Speedo wearers?
817 says, Jeep, Maxima, Bobby lives in an apartment. What are they paying you guys?
Mm-hmm. Hey, that thing's paid off. It's got 240,000 miles on it.
Yeah, we're not at WFAN.
No. Are you guys Speedo wearers? I think I know the answer to this.
Of course not. One of the dumbest, worst inventions of all time.
So dumb.
Also a question that G-Bag has asked Stephen Jones before. You ever worn a Speedo? Giafalo asked him that.
Oh, I'm surprised they didn't ask Rowdy that.
Right. He said yes.
Peyton Speedo?
Steven said he wears a Speedo?
He said he wore one as a joke one time on a boat.
No, absolutely hate it.
Okay.
Hate it.
Like right. The women who even appreciate the male physique even like them, unless you're like a supermodel. It's gross.
The male body isn't attractive, so like no one wants to see the high thighs like that.
It's attractive to some, Peyton.
Yeah. It's to like, some. Not to you, but there are people
well,
who
that
find
area,
it attractive.
I guess.
There are. This is...
Keep your bike off for this.
This is for the Today Show. Dwayne Wade is on with Jenna Bush. All right. the look.
I'm not going to...
Dwayne Wade is out with Jenna Bush. And there's a photo...
Jenna Bush, like George's daughter?
Jenna Bush Hager. So they're on Today Show with Jenna and friends. And they're talking about this guy who posted a photo of him and his kids wearing a Speedo, right? And they start to talk about it, and this is a social media watchdog here. You tell me at any point, will you tell me, are they body shaming him?
I don't cross the Speedo line.
Okay,
I feel like this, like when I'm on vacation, I see guys walking with the Speedo. It's like, what are you doing, bro? Like, why are you trying to show us every? We don't want to see all that.
I feel like it's more common.
By the way, I agree. If my husband brought out a Speedo, I'd be shocked.
Yeah.
You'd be absolutely shocked.
I'd be shocked.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see all that.
Nobody wants. And by the way, a man thigh?
Yeah, like man, hairy man thigh?
Yeah,
nobody
no, thank
see
you.
That.
That's right.
I don't mind a man thigh, but maybe that's the thing. In Europe, I feel like it's
we're not speaking
thing.
For everyone,
yeah,
I see.
Exactly. Well, on this one, the majority of people, 63%, said no thank you to the dad Speedos. They're like, we think
And
that
I would
this
just
not-
say, not every dad looks like that model dad
that's
that we
true.
Just put on
That's a very good
TV.
Point.
I mean, they just called him a model dad.
They just called him a model dad.
You want to hear body shaming? Rewind to 7 a.m.
Yes, absolutely.
It's amazing that you're playing this right after what we just did with G-Bag.
Absolutely. That was as tame as it could possibly get. So the guy, Tidy Dad, said, last week my decision to wear a Speedo while lap swimming and open water swimming was discussed at Today's Show. During the segment, Jenna Bush Hager commented, no one wants to see hairy man thighs, and followed up by saying, not every dad looks like that model dad, referring to a photo of me in the suit. It's surreal to have your body publicly discussed and shamed on national TV. I'm sorry. When they say not everybody looks like that model dad, calling you a model dad.
This is the male version, and I'm so happy that a guy is complaining because you get into uncomfortable territory whenever I say this about women. When they're going to wear a mini skirt or have your boobs popping out, and then you get offended because people are turning their heads or looking at you. Shut up. And this is the male version. So I'm finally happy we have a male to criticize. Yes. For being called a model.
Right.
No one has ever been offended in life when you go, have you lost weight?
Wow, you're attractive.
Unless you're anorexic, unless you're throwing up. Right. That is one of the great highs you can ever get from someone when they go, have you lost weight? Like, you're looking good.
I was shamed for being called a model dad.
This dude has
You're
big,
hot.
Yeah.
How dare you?
How dare you compliment me?
And this is big hyphenated last name energy. This dude.
Yes.
Either that or serial killers.
Or serial
killers. Oh, my gosh. This guy, it's progressive. You know, we just take our wives' last names now. That would be this guy.
It is chopping up here on 105.3 The Fan. The astronomer CEO, Andy Byron, who resigned, his wife has taken family photos with him in the family off her Facebook page, and she has dropped his last name on social media. She now just goes by Megan Kerrigan, not Megan Kerrigan Byron.
And isn't there a new CEO?
There is a interim CEO, yes. This is a guy named Pete DeJoy.
This guy sounds as bright as the CEO who just got run off.
Listen to this that he posted on LinkedIn. The spotlight has been unusual and surreal for our team, and while I would never have wished it for it to happen like this, Astronomer is now a household name.
No such thing as bad publicity. we did all go look up Astronomer and what it was.
We did. This guy's going to be fired in minutes. I mean, we basically say, hey, look, we love the exposure here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know a family was ripped apart.
Our HR department doesn't exist. It's an absolute complete joke.
We have somebody who was 2 weeks ago family. Like an assistant HR like lackey, and now all of a sudden is going to be thrust into the head HR role. Our CEO is gone. We have an interim CEO. We have families ripped apart. Kids who are never going to see their dad again. Yet, the exposure's been great. It's been fantastic.
He looks like the guy who would replace office furniture with beanbags. We just want everybody to feel chill here. We got a coffee bar over there. Like, that's what
looks
that
like
guy
looks
like.
A mix of Pat Donnie and Woody Harrelson.
He does. He looks like if Hollywood was going to do like a smarmy CEO, he is absolutely typecast for that.
I mean,
that.
He's got that little, like, the little mic, the little ear mic that goes down to the side, like, for conventions and stuff. He looks like...
You made us an A-list company. You took us to another level.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Absolutely. TSA, we are going to fly over the weekend. So we've already said that now you don't have to take shoes off anymore. They've stopped
depending
that.
Depending on the airport.
Now, you book our tickets and handle the travel like a pro here in the building. After you book the ticket, can I then give you my new TSA number?
Yeah.
How do I utilize that? Because I have been TSA approved for the pre-check for the first time ever.
So very nice. Very nice. You got to link it to your account. So your American Advantage account, if you have one.
I don't have that.
Got to get one. Link it to your account. That'd be the easiest way to do it.
What if I'm flying, you know, like Southwest?
Link it to your account. Oh. So you got to, link it to your account. Or you can just call them up.
Ugh.
Which is a pain.
I'll stand in line with Bobby. That's too much work.
Also, big upgrades, and this is something for you. You're going back. We're going to draw you back in. They are going to have special lanes for families. So now this is going to be a slow process to roll out. Not every airport's going to do it immediately, but the airports with space will, and then they'll eventually all get it. But there are going to be special lanes if you have family, if you have kids, because there's nothing worse.
Kids
if you're
of what
a,
age?
It did. Just
if you have
families.
16-year-olds with you, it's like, well, I don't necessarily think you need to be. Right.
Yeah, they tested it in Orlando. Obviously, Orlando is a great one to test it with families because of Disney. But there is nothing worse if you're a single adult traveler and you have the two lanes and they both have kids with strollers. It's like, oh my god, this is gonna take forever.
Okay, so is it gonna be just the security?
Yeah.
Okay, so not the gate, not when I first walk in the ropes.
May have like a family lane and a general boarding lane.
It's after
lane.
I show you take my picture and
ID. They go to their lane.
Okay, lane. Yep.
Way down there. Get out of the way. So that's good.
That's good. That's good. I don't know if I want to be sent to that myself if I have the kids. It's good for you. It's good for the individual traveler,
the couple. Right.
I don't know if it's good for me. I got to go with the rest of the slow-moving families.
You might not have to. You know, it depends on what you might not have to, but we'll see how they roll that out. Chopping it up here on 105.3 The Fan. There is always somebody that ruins it for everybody, and this is Susie Chico. She is 38 years old. For 18 years, she was working for a company, and then she was given a formal warning. 2 years ago, formal warning 2 years ago about her performance. They finally fired her. Why they fire her? Because her keyboard strokes were monitored on 49 working days between October and December.
They monitor your keyboard strokes? They can monitor your keyboard?
It's a work from home person.
Wow.
And
it's
they
like
found,
GPS on athletes.
They found that she did not work her scheduled hours on 44 of the 49 track days. They tracked her for 49 days, and they said for 44 of them, you didn't work your normal scheduled hours. Someone's got to ruin it for everybody.
This is checking your iPad at home. How much film did you watch?
Yep.
This is you know what this is, and they probably didn't have this option for her. This is why you just say, I'll use my own computer, or I'll use my cell phone. You can just reimburse me for my cell phone.
What if the production got done? That's what they should be judging her off of.
Yes, that's what they should be judging
her off. You didn't produce.
Yes, I
agree.
Not
how many keyboard taps.
I would guess it's like one of those things where it's just like well, there's only so much I can get done. Like, it's there were probably issues with performance that they were like, what's going on with you? And she was like, well, I mean, there's just so much of it, and I'm not able to get through everything.
Yeah, now she's boosted her online profile because of this, so she's hoping to become an influencer. But she's scared she's never going to get hired again.
What's her name?
Susie Chico. C-H-E-I-K-O. I mean, she's attractive. She's an attractive girl. I can absolutely see her increasing her online profile. There you go, Peyton. But yeah, this is the person that ruins it for everybody, because now it's like people are saying, so the whole company, by the way, is now being warned about this. The next person that fails with this, they're going to bring them all back into the office.
Man, she's got a lot of different pictures.
I would just say G-Bag should not interview her.
Wow.
You know, subtlety is not a...
It was!
See, subtlety is not a strength of yours.
Subtle.
I don't know if I like that one.
Who deserves less of our sympathy? The person who bought Firefest tickets the second time around? Or the person who bought the naming rights to Firefest?
Ooh.
Billy McFarland sold the naming rights to Firefest for $245,000.
All-time great documentary if you've not seen it. It's amazing.
Both of them.
He still owes $26 million to the fraud victims from the Fire Festival. But somebody, he's $245,000 richer now because he sold the naming rights. Who's dumber?
The dumber is the people going to the second one. Because I'm going to use the title and the name and the... It's not a known commodity, but the fame of it.
There's value to that name.
I'm going to use the fame of it, and I'm going to actually make it legit, because you can always get influencers to go. All I need is one great turnout, one great show, and then have people come and spread the word through the influencers. But the people who bought the second trip, they're the dumb ones.
The name itself, I think you could easily justify, has $200,000 worth of
absolutely
power behind it.
Absolutely.
So, I don't think that's dumb at all.
Chopping it up every hump day.
Hump day.
Commercial-free expressway with a Billy Currington ticket giveaway on DFW Sports Station. Great mood so far today. Ton of laughs. A classic first 2 hours. All that is about to end after what the KNC masterpiece did to RJ Choppy at Cowboys camp. The audio you also have to hear back inside the Star after this.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.